Praise God. Thank Him for His presence, but for the truth that we've been able to sing, because without Him, without everything that He has done, where would we be? Praise God. Well, you know, I've said this before, but we've come out of a men's meeting, and it's just like everything that I've been thinking about was expressed. But I don't think I've ever been in a men's meeting where that was more true. That was amazing. Just about everything that's been on my heart was just so eloquently expressed. I wish we could just play a tape. But anyway, it seemed like the Lord has another plan. And I'm glad He uses weakness, because that's all I got, folks. But you know, that's all any of us have. And I appreciate His faithfulness to us. And so I'm just going to ask Him to arrange my thoughts this morning and try to express some of what I believe He has on His heart. You know, recently we've made an emphasis going into this year about how the Lord's marked out our path. We know He has a plan. We know where it's going. We know that He is taking us from creatures that are part of an old, dying, corrupted creation, born into a world that has no future. But He's also calling us out of that and giving us not a reform program, not a religion, but a brand new life. And it's the life that is a part of a new creation that cannot be killed, cannot be done away with. And He has called us to walk a path during which He's going to be changing us. And of course, we love that. We don't want to be changed. We don't think we need change in so many areas. But the Lord knows better than we do, doesn't He? And I guess I started thinking about some of these things partly because this is the time of the year when I read Job. If you're following the chronological Bible, most scholars believe that Job and the account of what happened there took place someplace in Central Asia, sometime between after the people were scattered from the Tower of Babel, and then Abraham comes on the scene. So he's either early in Abraham's life or sometime in between. But quite an amazing story, and recorded for us. God knows how we got it, but we got it, and it's a tremendous insight and blessing. But as I thought about this, I thought about the fact that there are some real pitfalls as we walk this path that the Lord has marked out for us. And many times it's how we react emotionally to things and how we think about them. Does that sound familiar, guys? Yeah. I mean, we have our own ways of evaluating things that happen to us and questioning, raising all of the questions, why this, why that, why not the other, why is it some, you know, a gazillion questions. And if we're not careful and we listen to them and we try to run in our own understanding, do you see where the devil kind of has an open door to get in? And he can begin to color and hinder our relationship with God. Because when we begin to question things that happen to us, who are we really questioning? We're questioning Him. And so all of a sudden, you've got a little bit of a cloud coming and a little bit of a, you know, we're in an area where we're not so sure. And it was interesting as I was doing this, Sue and I were cleaning up an area, which we got many of, that need arranging and need going through the other day. And part of it was my cleaning up some old books. Some of them were college texts and various things that I said, okay, I'm done with that now. It's only been, you know, a long, well, I won't say how many years. Well, I will. It's 55 years. And so anyway, but there are a handful of them I caught my eye and I hung on to them. And one of them was a little book that I had forgotten about by David Wilkerson. And I think many of you know who he was. God sent him as a skinny preacher that everybody thought was crazy to go into the streets of New York and Brooklyn in particular and begin to reach out to the gangs. And just did it by faith, felt like the Lord had sent him, and the Lord began to use him to reach out. Nicky Cruz, a tremendous servant of God, was saved out of the most wretched background you could imagine. And anyway, during that period of time, he relates something that happened to him. And it illustrates the danger that I'm talking about. I can remember, I think I can relate essentially what he did. But he was invited to go and to minister with a particular pastor in his church. And as he got there, I won't describe all the details, but there was a tremendous tragedy unfolding in which the child of this minister had suddenly been killed. I'll go ahead and say it. He was actually run over by the preacher's car by accident. Can you imagine something so horrible and so horrific? And as Brother Dave went through that experience and through the funeral that followed, there was a little bit of a cloud that kind of got in his mind and in his heart, and he began to, you know, that weighed on him. And, you know, you would obviously think about why, what is going on? And in the middle of it, there was a little thought came in. He must have done something. And God's punishing him, or, you know, there's something really wrong here, and this is why this happened. Anybody ever done that? Yeah. This affects every single one of us, because we are so prone to interpret life based on what we think and what we want. It's what it comes down to. And so there was a little bit of a cloud that came into David's life and in his ministry. And there was a short period of time there where he just didn't have it. It's just like he was kind of on his own and things were kind of dead. And he went home, and one of his reactions was, when he'd gotten home, he said, "God, I'll go into the greatest ghettos in the world. I'll reach into the gangs, but don't dare touch my family." How many of you think it's a good idea to make to have conditions? To say, "I'll serve you if." Yeah. And so the Lord was working on him. And he came to a point where he was just on his face crying out to God, and he said the heavens were brass. And all of a sudden a voice began to speak in his mind. And began to say, the reason this is happening is because of you. It's all about pride. You go into Brooklyn, you go into do all this kind of stuff. It's just pride. You're looking for a name for yourself, and God's got it in for you, and just an accusing voice. And of course he's searching his heart, what's going on? And then all of a sudden there was another voice that spoke. And it said, "Try the spirits, whether they be of God." And all of a sudden he stopped and realized, hey, that wasn't God. That was the devil. How many even know when we get in these places and the devil starts talking, it's awful easy to listen. It's awful easy to get absorbed in us and where we're at and how we feel and how we evaluate what in the world's going on. And all of a sudden the devil gets right in the middle of it. And he begins to interpret for us what's happening. You know, isn't that what happened when Brother David was with that minister and observing this thing, and the voice came in his head, he did something and God's punishing him because this is just an evidence. Now, was that voice God's or not? You know, we got to be careful. You know, we are very prone to observe situations that we're not necessarily a part of and make judgments. And every one of us is a product, more than we realize, of our earthly makeup, the culture we've been around, the associations we've been around, the ideas we have absorbed, the things we have come to believe are true. And the problem is, with some of that, the devil's the one who's injected his belief system in there. And we've embraced things about ourselves that came from the devil and not from God. And God wants to, God is going to take us through things. He has got to take us through things, or we'll never grow. If life is just smooth and easy by an earthly standard, how are we ever going to be changed? How are we ever going to be made ready for something that is beyond this? If we are defined in our thinking and our actions by the ideas and the values of this world, we're not worth much to the kingdom of God. And I need to be changed, don't you? And, you know, I just pray that God will help us to realize that God knows what he's doing. And so, you know, when David went through that experience, he reached that point where he'd heard the two voices and it suddenly dawned on him that was the devil's accusation there. And he came back to the Lord and he said, God, even if I have sinned, I have an advocate with the Father. And suddenly he's going by the word and he's recognizing, yeah, I could very well be in the wrong in some things, but Lord, I come to you and I'm coming not on the basis of me and who I am and what I've done. I'm coming on the basis of the advocate you provided for me. He is there and God, and there was a breakthrough in his spirit. All of a sudden there was a freedom. But do you know, we can easily get in places where we're not free. And we're embedded in circumstances and situations and the emotions that go with that. And all of a sudden, that's kind of what's in charge. And I believe with all my heart, the Lord was emphasizing that in the men's meeting for sure. Wow, I wish I could just replay that. But what a simple truth it is, but how profoundly important it is that we realize that. How many of you have prayed, oh God, do in me what's needed. Use me according to your plan. I want your plan for my life and not mine. But do we really know what we're asking many times? Because here's the Lord who knows where we're at, knows our needs far more than we are, and knows where he's taking us and what it takes to get there. And we come kicking and screaming all the way sometimes. You know, there was mention of one-year-olds and two-year-olds and how they react to life and how you have to constantly be on them and keep up with them. And I'm not sure we're that far beyond that, many of us, spiritually. And the Lord wants us to grow and he wants us to learn how to just surrender to him and let go and let him have his way. I certainly feel my need of that. And he has ways of just reminding me that, hey, you thought you had this handled or you thought you were at a certain place, and you're asking me for more. But when I try to take you there, when I take you through circumstances and feelings that you don't like, and I'm answering your prayer, then you fuss about it. And you get discouraged and you get self-pitying. And you eat a box of chocolates or whatever. No, I don't quite do that, but not quite. But you understand what I'm saying. Everybody here knows what I'm talking about because that's called life. I am so thankful that we have a merciful God. But how easy is it for us to get in the position that David, this is Dave Wilkerson, found himself for that little span of time where there was a little bit of a question in his mind about God's goodness, God's faithfulness. I don't understand why would he allow something like this? This doesn't make any sense. Oh, how the devil has sought from the beginning to do that with the human race. I mean, you think about, again, how many times have we talked about the original temptation? God's motivation, his character was called into question by the devil. He's not really good. He doesn't really have your best interests at heart. He's trying to hold you down and keep you from your destiny. And here's something he's telling you not to do, but if you do it, it's going to be good for you. And so they embraced the devil's wisdom. But what were they saying by that? See, they had embraced not just the action, but the belief that came with it. This assessment of God is, I can't quite trust him. He doesn't really, really have my best interest at heart. This is just a game to him, or whatever form that takes. But all of a sudden, there's this little barrier and this little cloud. How many of you think God wants us to walk with that kind of a cloud over our spirits? Of course he doesn't. But oh, how easily we find ourselves questioning him. And the title, I don't think I told you this, but the title of the little book that David Wilkerson wrote, was I'm Not Mad at God. Well, the truth of the matter is there's not a person here who hasn't been mad at God at some point in their life because of something that happened. And he allowed it. Why would a good God allow something like that? Oh, how we need to see beyond our limited understanding to see his greatness and his purpose. You know, I've relayed many, many times, that short span of time in college when I got mad at God and quit. And there was an issue. And really, there was an issue that I was holding between me and God, and it had to do with the fact that people around me were having experiences. They were full of joy, and they were breaking through to a greater measure of the Spirit or whatever. And I wasn't. It was just me and the room, and I couldn't seem to break through to any kind of experience or feelings. They weren't there, and I was upset about it. So I pouted for a few days. But you know, wasn't I really putting a condition out there and saying, God, I'll serve you if you give me the feelings and experiences I want? Oh, God, we better not have conditions. If we're going to serve God, it means everything is on the altar. There's nothing that we're going to hold back from him and say, God, you can't mess with that. Anyway, and as I've mentioned many times, I went several days, and I finally, the conviction that God had planted real deep. I'm so thankful for that, because it wasn't in me, something he had put there. I knew I had to serve him. I knew he was right. And I finally just came to a place where I said, Lord, I will serve you if I never have a feeling. Isn't that what God's looking for from any of us? I am not going to put any conditions on you, Lord. I'm willing to go, I'm willing to do whatever you want. I need you, Lord. Oh, God, help us, everyone. When we go through things and feelings come the voice of the enemy comes to try to raise a question about God, we better realize this. There's an issue down here that God's got his eye on. It's not a condemning thing. But he's trying to shine a light in an area of our hearts where we need it. And instead of accusing him or agreeing with the enemy's assessment of the situation and feeling sorry for ourselves, we need to say, oh, God, just I'm waiting on you and I'm trusting you. I know you're in charge. I know you're good. And I know if there's something I need to know, you can shine the light on it. But, Lord, help me. And, you know, there are issues. Well, it's true of every issue. I mean, even coming to faith in the first place, we need his help to do that, don't we? It's by grace we're saved. That means God's help. God has to come down, and we have to come under the influence of God's Spirit, his power, his revelation to our hearts of our need. We've got to come to that place and then surrender to it and agree with him and receive that into our hearts. And when he comes, everything changes it down in here. Of course, that's not the end of it, is it? Was Dave Wilkerson a lost sinner when the hell that happened? No. He was somebody that God had mightily used. And yet there were needs and there were issues. There were things that God knew he needed to lay on the altar and say, God, I have no conditions. You know, another booklet, I won't go into all the details, that I ran into, and I don't recall ever reading this. Somehow it came into my possession and got stuck with a bunch of other old stuff. But it was a testimony of a woman. It was written and published in the just after World War II. The events took place around 1930, 32, somewhere in there, but it was a young girl who grew up under very difficult circumstances, went to church some, drifted from that, but still had something. There was still a conviction in her about serving the Lord, but she also went through some terrible, debilitating health issues, one after another. And their family was so destitute that even in spite of the health issues, she had to get out in the cotton fields. I mean, it was a tough time. This was obviously during the Depression at this point. And there came a point where somewhere along the line, I'm trying to remember the exact sequence of events, but there was a time when God was dealing with her about really coming back to serve Him and being willing to do whatever He wanted with her life. And she said yes. All right. Then she went into a period of, I think it was like 6 days, when she was just out of it, convulsing. Everything you could think of was wrong physically. And the doctors were just, well, just prepare her for, she's getting ready to go. And her mother was a praying woman. Mother was praying desperately, oh God, I fasted, I prayed, heal my daughter. On and on. And they finally gave her a sedative that was supposed to basically, you know, hasten the process, make her comfortable. And for about 5 hours, she was dying in the early morning hours. And then there was a point at which she left her body. That's something that happens. We know of cases where that's happened. But she left her body for a period of time. It wasn't long. It was like 45 minutes, I think. But somewhere in there, not only did she have a vision of heaven, which was real, but she also met the Lord. And the Lord challenged this prayer that she had prayed. And essentially, in her heart and her mind was, I'll be willing to serve you this way or that way, but don't send me out to a jungle somewhere. You know, I'm not going to go there or do this or that. Yeah, I'll serve you, Lord. And the Lord brought her to a place of surrender where there was no condition. I'm yours. You tell me what to do and I'll do it. And there was a complete and total healing of her, and she came back. But there was something else going on while this was happening. Her mother was in another room praying. She had just died, been declared dead, and her mother was still in another room praying, oh God, this is the prayer. I've fasted, I've prayed. Lord, you are still able to bring back my daughter, heal her. And the Lord dealt with her and said, you want me to bring her back to you, but are you willing to let her go and give her to me to do whatever? Whoa. See how the Lord can bring us to difficult places where our wills are challenged, where we don't even realize the things that are holding us back, the things that we're not free as we think we are. And we need Him to do something that's really unusual in our lives. And so here the Lord was working on both ends of the line, and He brought her back. And I won't go into the details, but anyway, He gave her a very powerful supernatural anointing to heal, to preach, to ultimately to do all kinds of things, and have a tremendous testimony of someone who had seen the Lord, who had seen the gates of heaven, who had a power and a faith to pray for the sick. I mean, that was a purpose that God had for her at that time, and it was a powerful witness wherever she went. God has a purpose for our lives. For most of us, it's not going to be spectacular like that. But God has a way that He wants to deal with us. He's going to have to deal with things in our hearts and in our lives. Are we willing? It's easy to sit here and say, yeah, I'm willing. But are we willing when with the things that He has to do to get us there? It's gotten real quiet. See, this is real truth, isn't it? Does anybody here need this? Yeah, I certainly do. But oh, we have an awesome, faithful God. Then there was Job. And you remember how he was a man who was described as blameless and upright, feared God, shunned evil. He had, you know, was it 7 sons, 3 daughters? Owned, and it enumerates all of his possessions, just a great man, mightily blessed, and had so many things. And the Lord, I mean, there he was doing what he knew to do. He was walking in the light he had, which is a good thing. And God recognized that. And of course, you have the account of how Satan comes in among the Lord's hosts and accuses Job. Actually, the Lord's the one that pointed Job out. I wonder how many times the Lord is behind things. How about all the time? One way or another, God's behind stuff. Okay? Well, the Lord, I mean, the devil had a lot of experience with humanity, and he knew that people basically were motivated by self-interest, and he said, sure, of course you're going to serve you. You're blessing him. As though that was the motivation. If I'll just act like I'm righteous, I'll do the right things on the outside, I'll do all this stuff, then God's going to give me a wonderful life here. Well, isn't that pretty earthly thinking? Oh, God, help us. That's one of the things wrong with the prosperity gospel. It's focused on the wrong things. I'm glad when God can bless in earthly ways, but that's not what it's about. God, I need to be ready for there. I don't need to just say, oh, I had a wonderful life. We need a purposeful life, one that God has designed to accomplish his purposes, not only in us, but through us. So anyway, he gets accused by Satan. Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not put a hedge around him? Now, that's not an awesome truth. Do you realize if you're the Lord's, there is a hedge of divine protection around you, and the devil cannot do anything to you or to me without God's permission. Doesn't that tell you something, that God is, that everything is purposeful? How many times have we heard the simple truth that everything God does is by design, is according to a plan, is to fulfill a purpose, and is motivated ultimately by the divine love of God and his mercy toward us undeserving? Thank God. Oh, how easy it is to lose sight of that. Okay? So anyway, the Lord gives the devil permission. And of course, you remember Peter, how the Lord said to warn Peter, the devil has asked to tempt you, but I have prayed for you. Boy, isn't that a good thing to think about? If the Lord allows the devil to oppress and tempt you, don't ever forget that there is one in heaven who is praying for you, asking the Father to give you what you need to stand up under that and to come through it and to be stronger because you went through it. Don't ever be dismayed by that. But anyway, so the Lord says, okay, everything he has is in your hand, just don't touch him. And so we know how one after another is these catastrophes that come along, or his stuff is robbed or destroyed, or his kids are all killed. I mean, you talk about something touching your family. Oh, my God. Everything he had was wiped out. So what did he do? God, what's my... No. He bowed down. And he said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whoa, what an amazing faith and a testimony. See, God had really brought him to a certain level of understanding and faith. And I think we could see, if we look at the whole book, we understand that God wanted, through this, to take him to a better place, a higher place. I wonder if there were times when he said, Lord, take me, you know, do what you want, take me to that place. I'll guarantee there's people here that have said, Lord, take me to a deeper place. I want to know you better. I want more power in my life. I want to be more effective in what I do, how I serve you. And the Lord, in order to do that, he has to turn the devil loose on us and put us in actual battle. Because it's when we fight with his weapons. I mean, guys, does this sound familiar? Everything I'm saying was said this morning, and so well by so many. Wow. I'm just blessed by the Lord's presence and how clearly he's saying these things to us. But if we will stand in those times and use what he's given us and not listen to that other voice that wants to explain it to us and not go by our own unlimited understanding, well, the stuff we think we know, and not allow our emotions to be colored and turned essentially against the Lord, which is what happens. If our emotions are not on board and we're just letting them run, what are we saying about him? And I'm not saying that to condemn. I'm saying that because I believe the Lord wants us to. He understands all this that we go through. He understands the battles. But he wants us as his children to grow and to learn and to become more what he wants us. So anyway, the devil comes back and and the Lord calls attention again. And then and the devil says, yeah, you can. He'll give up everything as long as you don't touch him. Said, all right, he's in your hands, but spare his life. And now then we come to a point where he's got sores from his head to his feet. And his wife is a big help. Curse God and die, get it over with. So everything's against him. I mean, I don't think there's anybody here who could say, boy, Job, you just didn't know any better. Poor Job. Boy, if any of us had been in that position, I don't believe I would have done half as well as Job did. What an example God has given to us. But anyway, obviously he got down in a very, very, very low place. And he had three supposed friends who were going to explain it all to him. And they gathered around him, and even then they waited for 7 days because he was in such a state. And then finally Job speaks, and the essence of what he says is, I had never been born. Talk about the ultimate pity party. He goes on and on and on and on and on. What a horrible day that was. It should be wiped off the calendar. If only I had died at birth, it would have been so much better. So Job is obviously in a very low state emotionally. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, we all get there at times. And so there he was, and he was going on and on. And, you know, his friends start finally speaking up and saying, well, you know, just take your case to God. You go to him. If you're right, he'll help you. Well, the thing is, what did they have to go on? They didn't have the Bible. They didn't have the unfolding revelation. They didn't even have the Old Testament, let alone the New Testament. And so the only knowledge they had was what had been passed down from Noah. And of course, he could still have been alive at this point, but he had been very old. But there was a certain amount of knowledge of God and who he was that caused Job to know that we need to be righteous because he's an all-powerful God and he's just. He punishes wickedness. He rewards righteousness. And we need to serve him and honor him and live our lives in the light of what we know about him. And so there they are trying to navigate all this. And you know what? The most natural thing in all of this is to ask why, and I want to understand it. Now, I don't care if you're the most emotional person on the planet. There's still a part of you that wants to be able to say, I can explain this. I can understand the why. Oh, my God, how easy it is for us to fall into that trap and just insist that we've got to figure it out. And just how hard is it for us just to lay our case before God and say, God, I'm in your hands. I know that you are good. But the more we try to figure it out, the more we worry about it, the more we get entangled in it, the lower we get, and the more disconnect there is between us and God. Oh God, what an awesome place it is to be in His hands. But what a terrible thing it is when we begin to fall into what Job did here. And then, of course, the voices around us are these judgmental ones, like David Wilkerson commented about how that thought came into him. He must have done something. Well, that was ultimately where these guys came from. And they knew the answer. They knew how the world works. It's very simple. God is in charge. If you're righteous, He blesses you. And if you're wicked, He curses you. That was their view of how the world works. Well, it's not quite that simple, is it? Because we got a lot of stuff that happens in this world. And here's a loving, all-powerful God that's not intervening. And they go round and round and round. And they're giving some of these long-winded speeches where all about the terrible things the wicked suffer, their children are hungry, and on and on, on and on and on. Oh, what a terrible thing is. And their implication, well, not just the implication, they said as much. There's only one possible explanation that they could come up with as to why all this stuff happened. You had to sin. Come clean. Had he sinned? Was that the reason? You think maybe there are things beyond our understanding or experience that may be the reason why things are happening that we can't explain? Do you think God wants us to be in that place where we can just surrender and trust Him? This was a tough place. What an example the Lord has recorded for us of this man and how he was standing up to it and fighting, and just, he knew he hadn't done anything. I mean, he said at one point, it's a little bit revealing. The thing I greatly feared has come upon me. Well, what does that tell you about the motivation behind what he was doing? He had a knowledge of God. He knew about God. And he knew he was all powerful, that he judges sin. And so there was I've got to be careful. I've got to walk on eggs in my life. My children just had a party. I'm going to offer sacrifices because maybe one of them cursed God in their hearts. I've got to take care of that. There was a fearfulness to it. There was an honest desire to serve God, but it was still tinged with this fear, this, I've got to somehow keep him from getting me here, falling under his judgment. You think that's how God wants us to serve him? There's a right kind of fear. It's a deep respect. But to live under this constant, oh my God, I've got to be perfect or he's going to get me if anything bad is happening to me, that just tells me he's angry with me, on and on and on. These terrible accusations against God can settle in our minds and color what we do and how we think about ourselves. Bad stuff has happened. I must be bad. Oh, was that the problem here? No, Job was the most righteous man in the world. And God was revealing himself to him. I'm not going to go through the whole book, but the basic story unfolds where he's constantly trying to say, I didn't do anything. And he said, you must have, or else this wouldn't have happened to you. And they're going back and forth trying to account for all this stuff with what they thought they knew and how it affected them and what their experience was. God, we don't know half the stuff we think we know. Wouldn't it be good just to trust Him? Isn't that what God is looking for from every single one of us? We just don't know. And He does. But oh, how easily we let the devil accuse God of just, you know, He's blessed them, He's not blessing me, there's something wrong, maybe He has it in for me, maybe this, maybe that, and we're just we're questioning God's love. Does He really love me? Does He really care? Is He really good? Is He just? And you know what? That kind of came into the play over time. Now, Job at one point did have an answer to all these people that have this simplistic view that God blesses good people and punishes bad people. And he said, it's not like that. Look at all the evil people that don't care about God at all, and yet they're having a wonderful life. Well, what's the conclusion that the devil's likely to put in your mind when you think that thought? It's not worth serving the Lord then. What's the point? Oh, I'll tell you, my God, we need divine light and divine help, and we need His Word in times like that. There was a time when the Israelites got in that condition. Generation or two had gone by after they were restored from Babylon, and the Lord put His finger on their problem and said, they were talking about, why are we doing all this? What good is this doing us to serve God? How about Psalm 73 and Asaph? He started looking at all the people who were doing wonderfully in the world. Everything was going great for them, and why am I doing this? And of course, the Lord, in that case, revealed to him that, hey, this is not the end of the story. But here's Job going through all of this and struggling. But there was one thing that God wanted to touch in Job's life. The one thing that ultimately he would not let go, even if it came to the point where I'm not 100% sure that he's just. What an amazing accusation. God just isn't just. He doesn't do right. I can't really trust him. But there was a point where the justice of God and his own rightness, I'm sinless, I've not done anything wrong, I've served God with all my heart, there's nothing wrong, I'm going to hold on to my righteousness. And when the Lord finally spoke to him at the end, he goes through the creation. Were you there when I did this? Were you there when I did that? Do you know how this works? And on and on and on. And suddenly, whoops. Here I am. I've been speaking all these words out of stuff I thought I knew, and here's God talking to me. And I don't know anything. I'm just going to shut my mouth and listen. But the one thing the Lord put his finger on, would you uphold your own righteousness at the expense of my justice? Many times we're trusting in something in ourselves that's not really what God wants to trust us to trust in. I wonder how many of us are trusting in our own goodness despite what we sing and say. And when something happens, it's just proof that I'm bad, I'm this, I'm that, God's got it in for me. Instead of saying, God's shaping my life to fulfill His wonderful, loving purpose for me. And I don't care how He has to do it, to show me needs in me, to show me where my true trust is so I can let it go and put it where it belongs. I don't care what it is. God, my life is in Your hands. We sing the song, but is it? What happens if he says, do this or do that or do the other? This is my path for you. Have we really laid everything on the altar? But here was the real root of what Job was trusting in was his own righteousness. That's what it came down to the point where it almost caused him to question God's justice. But you know the wonderful thing was when God put his finger on that, he said, I abhor myself. I repent in dust and ashes. That's an awesome thing. You know what? That's what God's looking for. We are going to discover, if we're going to serve Him, we're going to discover things about us that aren't good, that aren't right. And we're going to look and say, my God, I had no idea that was in there. I had no idea that my real motivation was just governed by that. I said I was yours, Lord, but I had a condition there. It was, I'll serve you as long as. I'll serve you if. Just like some of these examples we had here this morning. But God has got to put his finger one way or another, and it's usually going to be by experiences that we would prefer not to go through. We're going to discover that these things are there. What God is looking for when that happens is a heart that says, yes, Lord. I see it. I acknowledge it. I lay it at your feet. I surrender in this area. And I'll tell you, if wherever there's a willing heart, God will give the strength to do exactly that, because I don't have it. Anybody here have it? This thing's all the time that God has to put his finger on in me, and I have to say, God, I can't even respond to that. I don't have the power in me to do it. You're going to have to give me what I need. But hasn't he promised that? Hasn't he said he's given us through his great and precious promises all things that pertain to life and godliness? There are things in every one of us that he loves us enough to take us through whatever it takes in order to set us free, to bring us to a better place. I think with all my heart, the Lord wants everybody to know here that if you're going through a period of oppression, several testified to that this morning in the men's meeting. I'm sure they're not the only ones. Guarantee they're not the only ones. But if you're in a place where the devil is just bombarding your mind with thoughts, with anxiety, with fear, with questions about God and what he wants, and, oh my God, I don't know what to do, and the thousand and one things that we all get in those places. Could that have happened if God hadn't allowed it? We sing, nothing can happen outside of God's will except this. Somehow there are things that we exempt from that song, or we disconnect from that song. But God wants us to realize that if he has allowed that to happen, to work on your mind so that you have to contend with that, you have to somehow deal with those questions and those accusations that are coming from the voice of the enemy. Those are darts. There's a whole lot said about the armor this morning and how we have a shield. We don't have to believe it just because it comes into our heads. But God is wanting to make his promises and his word and his character and every bit of that so real that we will be able to stand there and say, I don't have to listen to you, devil. That's your voice and not his. This is what the word says. Take that sword out and stick it in him. And he knows he has no answer for someone who will absolutely agree with God. But you know, we're going to have to agree with God, not just against the devil, but against things in us. There are things that need to die. There are things we don't know about. And of course, we've often mentioned, and it was mentioned again in the meeting this morning, about how the Lord brought Paul to a place where his heart, as far as he knew, his heart was to serve God. Do whatever the Lord put in his pathway. Oh, God, I want to be used of you. I've given myself to you. And Paul didn't know there was a problem. What was the problem? Pride. He had been allowed to see and experience so many things. And human nature, it's awfully easy for human nature to grab hold of something that kind of makes it feel like, yeah, I'm a good guy. I'm this, I'm that. It's because of me. And Paul, the Lord saw the danger. And the devil was getting ready to try to use this. And the Lord just put him in a position where he had a need. And he cried out. And it didn't happen. The answer didn't come right away. How many of you have been through that? And you're trying to, and your mind's trying to explain that. Why is God silent? Why doesn't he answer me? I'm asking, oh God, why aren't you answering? What did I do? Tell me what I did. That's where kind of Job was for a long time. The Lord did answer him, didn't he? You know, the Lord knows when and how to speak to us and what to say. I pray that as we go along, we will finally get it through our thick skulls that God knows what he's doing. He knows how to do it, knows when to do it. That he loves us, that there's a purpose that he's fulfilling that no devil in hell can stop. We've sung so many songs this morning about our foundation and the hope that we have in Him, and it's real. I pray if that's not real in your heart, you'll open your heart and say, oh God. I know one scripture that was quoted today was the one in Jeremiah about, I know the plans that I have you, plans to not harm you. Anyway, give you a hope and a future. But that same passage also talks about seeking the Lord. You'll seek Him and find Him if you do what? Search for Him with all your heart. There's a God who will hear a willing heart. And He'll give you what you need. You don't have to deserve it. Thank God. I tell you, Job was brought to a place where he realized the blessing of God was not something that he had earned, or he had to be living this fearful, oh my God, there's this God, I can see all the effects, but he's just out there and I'm afraid he's going to crush me if I don't live up to everything. And he finally came to a place where he realized there's a God who cares and who loves me and is willing to come near. He wants us to know Him better. Anybody here need to know Him better? See, this is the pathway. We just would prefer it to happen some other way. We want to be able to come down here and kneel at the altar and have Apostle Tremendous lay his hands on you and put it in you and take it out, whatever doesn't need to be there. It's all going to come in an experience. I wonder if maybe that's what the Lord was trying to do for me. All those years ago, I was trying to get an experience because that's the way people said it's supposed to happen. Well, there are experiences with God, but nothing in the way of an experience with God that touches your emotions can take the place of God dealing with us in life. There are things that we can only learn on the field of battle that you can't get at an altar. We need Him in the darkest moment for us to just stand our ground and look to God and understand that His goodness is absolute. We can trust Him in the darkest moment. That His word is still just as true as when our emotions are up. Emotions are all over the place. And our understanding is so desperately limited. You know, if you've known the Lord a while and you know a lot about Scripture, it's awful easy to just kind of coast a little bit. But I believe with all my heart, God is preparing His people to stand in this dark hour. And we're going to need to know our God. And the people that know their God will be strong and do exploits. We'll be able to stand. I tell you, God is faithful. I see Him working. I sense Him working in me. Most of the time when I'm feeling that work, it's not wonderful waves of glorious emotion. It's, ooh, that was tough. I'm not feeling so good today. I'm struggling against how I feel. How I feel makes me want to feel sorry for myself. And I deserve to feel sorry for myself because things aren't going the way I want them. God help us. We're like little children, folks. God's helping us to grow up, and He loves us with an everlasting love. You think about the example of Abraham. Maybe this is a good place to stop as any. But how many things the Lord put him through to see whether there was anything that he would withhold? Not only did he continue to believe God in spite of the long delay in fulfilling God's promise, he continued to believe Him. But when he had that son of promise and the Lord told him to take him to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him, offer him as a sacrifice, we're not privy to the thoughts that he went through, but we know what he did. He just did it. And he was going for several days. Can you imagine what was going through his mind during those 3 days? But he went right to the point of raising the knife. And the Lord intervened and said, I see that you won't withhold anything from me. I pray that God will give every one of us that grace. Young people, it means, do I want God's plan or mine? And we can't say, well, I'll serve you as long as. You go along with my plans, or you do. It happens this way and not that way. We need to just lay it all on his plan and say, God, you are the one who sent your son, who went willingly to that cross to lay down his life for me. Willingly he did that. Are we called to less? That's what we're called to. But it worked out pretty good for him, didn't it? Do you know he has the same plan for us? That we will come to a place of power and glory and responsibility that is just beyond our imagining. But we're going to have to walk a path that is where God's going to have to shine the light, just like he did in Paul. We started to talk about that and how God finally revealed to him a simple principle: my strength is made perfect in weakness. And suddenly Paul saw his weakness in a different light. Ever been through that? Where God showed you something. After going through something, God showed you something about it where now all of a sudden, oh, I thought I understood the situation here, but now I see it in a different light. You're showing me what's really going on here. Do you believe God will help us with the things that we don't know and understand? Who is among you that fears the Lord, obeys the voice of his servant, and you walk in darkness and you don't have any light? What are we supposed to do? Trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon our God. That's in Isaiah 50, if you want to know where that's at. Woe to those who kindle their own fire. I believe with all my heart, in the midst of things that people are testifying about, seasons of darkness, seasons of questions, seasons of anxiety and fear, where those things are trying to crowd into our minds and our hearts, God is at work. The devil is the one who is scared to death that God is actually going to do something in us and through us. And we need to look beyond everything that we're experiencing in the moment and say, God is taking me to a better place, and I see past all of this. I see his hand at work, and I am in his hands. Devil, you can't cause me to question God's faithfulness, his justice, his goodness, his love, all of those things. He is exactly the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is exactly who I need to be living my life for and trusting with all of my heart. And I'll tell you, there's a God who will give you a word in due season as we look to him and wait upon him. Sometimes we can go through periods of time where the devil is just bombarding our minds, and then one little word will come. Oh, I love the line of that old hymn. When the battle is all over at the end, one little word will fell him. And many times it's that one little word that God can drop in our minds that absolutely will cut off what the devil is saying. And we'll believe that, what God says, and have the power not to believe what the devil says, and the devil has no answer. Thank God for what he's given to us in Christ. Don't ever learn to listen to what your mind thinks when you're trying to figure out stuff, your natural understanding. Say, God, I don't understand, but I'm looking to you to increase my understanding, to increase my faith, to take me through this. Help me to see the lessons that you taught Job of standing fast and look and repenting when I put my hand on finger on something. And it came out pretty good for Job, didn't he? He had twice as much when he was all done. God, there were earthly blessings involved in him. But I'll tell you, whatever God has for us, I want what he has. And I don't want to sink in the pool of self-pity. Am I the only one? Whoever does that? I don't want to sit there and, I don't like this circumstance. I don't like having to put up with this. Someone recounted to me the other day something Billy Graham said. He said, I'm ready to die. I just wasn't ready for old age. But the Lord knows what he's doing. And my life is in his hands, and I'm trusting in him. And that's all he seeks for from any one of us. However he has to accomplish that, whatever he has to do to make us what he wants us to be, is worth everything. It's worth everything. Praise God. I'm sure there were things that were said this morning in the men's meeting that I've forgotten, but that's all right. It's 12 o'clock. Let's just go and serve the Lord and give him praise, because he is worthy of our lives and our hope and our trust To him be the glory. Praise God.